In the gradual of today's Mass, we pray, the Lord sent his word and healed them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I have 16 words for you today, not spoken, but written. They were Mary's gracious response to many a word and deed done in her honor, Our Lady of Hope, but especially because of a hymn that was once sung to her after Vespers, and those who sang it sang through their tears. I want to dedicate today's sermon in gratitude to the Mother of Good Counsel for the material and the spiritual assistance that she has given us in an extraordinary way, again, these past 12 weeks of her devotion and of our need, but also in reparation to her Immaculate Heart, for that lady who said there were too many sermons about the Blessed Mother, and for all of our sins against Our Lady and the honor that we should be showing to her. And finally, in petition, I want to ask you to, I asked you a while ago, and some of you were kind enough to do it, to ask you again today to make, beginning today, a novena with me that will then cover the days of the Chair of Unity Octave Devotion for the return of our fallen away and for all the needs of our Church. Those needs and this novena are especially summed up by the words of our Lord in the Octave Prayer, that they all may be one, Father, as I in thee and thou in me, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I ask you then to pray your family rosary, your personal rosary every day for 9 days for this intention, and add to it, if you can, a prayer to Our Lady of Hope. You'll find it in today's bulletin or in the little devotional leaflet given out at the low masses today. How much we need it. How much we need hope. Hope, that supernatural gift of God whereby we trust. We trust God firmly that he will give us eternal life and that he will give us all of the means that we need in order to attain eternal life, as long as we do what is required of us. And what does our Lord require of us, if not that we should imitate him, that we should obey him? And where is our source for knowing about our Lord, if not the Holy Gospel, which you might call the evangelical imperative? Now, it is in sacred scripture that we have all of the source and all of the fleshing out of our devotion to the Mother of God. Today's gospel is one of the best examples of that. You read it along in English whilst I sang it in Latin. I want to urge you today, perhaps at some point during Mass, to read it again, to reflect upon it and to pray over it, to try to make it part of you, so that when it comes up the next time, somebody in the family or at work or wherever about devotion to Mary, you'd be able, just out of the fullness of your own heart, to explain these gospel truths to anyone at all. St. John records, there they were at the wedding. They were running out of wine at the reception. Our Lady notices this. Of course she does. She's a mother. She sees every little detail of what's going on. So she leans over to her son at the table and she whispers to him, they have no wine. And our Lord whispers back to her, what's that for us? That's none of our business. My time hasn't come yet, mother. You know that. It's not time for miracles yet. That's all. That was their conversation. But it was enough that she should have made known her wish. And so, confidently and serenely, she turns to the servants. Now, that's supposed to be you and me in the gospel story. We're meant to be the slaves of Mary. She turns to us and she says, do whatever he tells you. So then our Lord tells him to do something. Fill the water pots with water, 20, 30 gallons of water apiece. And then after they did that, he says, now, take out a sample and bring it to the chief steward, the man in charge of the party. He tastes it. And he walks over to the bridegroom, who has no idea what's going on at all. And he says, "You've saved the best wine until now." Our Lord's first miracle. Nothing better than the gospel shows Mary's limitless power. She always knew she had it. And at Cana, you and I can see it. He seemed to refuse her, but she knew better. Mothers always do. And she bade the servants carry out his word as he carries out hers. Not waiting for a formal word, the mere suggestion of a wish suffices. And the Son of God changes his plans to suit hers. And he provides not merely a bottle or two of the generic stuff, some gallo, to get them through the end of the feast, but case after case of the very best wine that anyone had ever tasted. Nothing is too good for his mother. She shows thus that she is the mistress of his heart. That is why the title Our Lady of the Sacred Heart is a very powerful one to use in our prayer. We might almost say that today she causes him to exceed the bounds of his own goodness. Did we not know that his goodness is infinite? His heart, an infinite ocean of mercy. But how he loves to be asked for that mercy by his mother. Our Lady of Pomain. The year is 1871. Pomain's a little village of about 500 souls, 200 miles west of Paris in France, between Normandy and Brittany. Father Michael Guérin had been parish priest there for 35 years. He was a bit, they say, like the Curé of Ars or St. Louis de Montfort. By means of a devotion to Our Lady and the Passion of Christ, he had converted his parish. He did everything he could to preach and to honor Mary. He set up over the altar and then outdoors several large statues of the Blessed Mother. And once they were redoing, they were repainting the church. And in honor of Our Lady, he asked the workers to paint the ceiling blue, filled with stars, the way the old cathedral in Louisville is. That gave me an idea this morning. I'll have to speak to Gino about that. That would be a wonderful thing for this church. And after Vespers, every Sunday afternoon, he would gather the people and take them over to Mary's altar and himself light four candles, pray the rosary. Then they would sing some hymns in her honor. Similarly, he put a crucifix in every home in his parish. And he set up several ways of the cross outdoors. These details are important. Remember them if you will. You'll see how they play out now in the story of the apparition. It is now January of this year, 1871, and the current war, there always seems to be one, doesn't there? The current war had been imprudently declared by a little Napoleon III against the Prussians, and the war was going very poorly. Typhoid fever was all about. The Germans had invaded France. 38 of the sons of the village had been conscripted into the army. And the Germans had advanced to the gates of Laval, which was the neighboring capital city of Mayenne. That Sunday afternoon, after Vespers and Rosary, nobody had the heart to sing the closing hymn. It was the hymn to Our Lady of Hope. And so they left the priest all by himself to sing, which can be disastrous depending on the priest's voice. And so more than once he turned around to try to get the people to sing with him, and they finally did through their tears. O Mother of Hope, whose name is so sweet, protect our France. Pray. Pray for us. 2 days later, Tuesday late afternoon, Eugene Barbadette is helping his father grind some feed for the horses in the family barn in the village. It's late afternoon, and he goes out for a moment to see what time it is, and he's surprised to see it's only 5 o'clock, but all of the sky against the dark blue is full of beautiful stars. And as he's looking at the stars, he sees a large, large image of a beautiful lady. His mother would tell him in a moment, that's probably the Blessed Mother. And she's standing in an oval of blue, 2 candles at the top, 2 candles at the bottom, and her robe is stars. She's wearing a black mourning veil, and over it a golden crown, and she's smiling at him, smiling so sweetly. He rushes and gets his brother, he's 10, and the two of them are just amazed to see our lady in her beauty. The mother comes out, and they say, do you see her? She doesn't see anything. This is a cute part of the story. She runs into the house to get her glasses, and she still doesn't see anything, because only children can see Mary in their innocence. But then the mother, as a good Catholic mother, tells the children, that must be Our Lady. Now let's say 5 Our Fathers and 5 Hail Marys. So they do. What happens next? Well, this is another very human part of the story. Remember, we're in France, and for the French, mealtimes are sacred. So the father comes out of the barn and he announces, well, it's time for supper. The French call it souper. And even though the children are seeing the Blessed Mother, they have to leave her on hold, as it were, to go inside and have their supper. And so the little boy asks, well, can we go outside again after we eat? And they say, oh, yes, the parents would say. Well, then let's say eat our supper as quickly as we can. And so they do, and Our Lady graciously is still waiting for them after the French have finished their meal. And then the word gets out, and the sister comes with some of the boarding students, and then the priest, and finally there are 60 adults, and they don't see anything. So the priest starts to pray with them, the rosary and the litanies. Then he leads the Magnificat that they sing at Sunday Vespers. And as they're singing, a long white banner is unfurled beneath Mary's feet. It reads in capital letters in French, Mais priez, mes enfants, pray, my children. Then the words appeared, God will soon hear you. The periods at the end of each sentence glowed like the sun. The children, now there's about 6 or 8 children who are seeing Our Lady, they reported. Then the next words came, my son has been moved. The crowd prayed silently at this point, and then someone intoned that hymn that nobody had wanted to sing on Sunday to the Mother of Hope. And as they did so, Our Lady smiled so kindly at everyone, and then she raised her hands, and as it were with her fingers, started to tell the time of the hymn with a delightful smile on her face. This is unique in all of the apparitions of Mary. It showed doubtless how much she was enjoying the music that her children were giving her. But then when they came to the verse, my sweet Jesus, now has come the time to grant thy pardon to our heavy hearts, a shadow of sadness passed over her beautiful face. And then she holds up a cross which is all red with blood, the figure of the crucified upon it, his name, his holy name written above it in white. She leans the cross towards the people from heaven, and her lips are moving as it were in prayer, and her eyes are cast down, and then one of the stars from her robe detaches itself and goes like an altar boy to light the 4 candles. The crucifix in Mary's hands disappears as the people are finishing now their Ave Maris Stella, and then a little white cross comes to each shoulder of Our Lady. And she extends her hands one last time to the crowd with a final smile that was so sad. And then a white cloth comes from the bottom to the top. The people are now saying their night prayers together. And Our Lady is taken out of their view. For one last moment, the children see the crown, and then nothing. So the parish priest asks, he says, Well, what else do you see, children? They say, rien, c'est fini. Nothing else. It's over. And it took 3 hours. The adults were huddled in the barn for warmth, but all the children were outside in the snow, and not one of them felt any cold. That night, the Germans, who were only a few miles away, inexplicably left the city of Laval. And 11 days later, they signed an armistice with the French. The sons of the village came home, and peace was won. The bishop approved the vision, the apparition, and so did the Pope. And I think that the meaning of the apparition is this, that Our Lady wanted to show her approval of what a priest had done to honor her. That's the symbolism of the blue sky and the stars, the large image, the 4 candles, and the cross that she held, and as well the hymns that the people sang. This never occurred to me. We had a little shrine and a beautiful statue, Father Kelly and I did, at Oyster Bay, Long Island, years ago in our first chapel there. And years later, Father Sanborn and I made a little pilgrimage to Pomain in France, but I never realized until I was preparing this sermon what the meaning of it really was. How Our Lady was thanking the parish priest for the honor he had given her, and then at the same time, the people, because they had persevered even though they felt the situation was hopeless. What about for us today? As at Cana, the Blessed Mother sees. She knows, she notices absolutely everything. All of her children's cries, she hears. And when you listen to your priest, and when you sing through your tears, when you come to church and you pray, in spite of all of your fears, she fills you with hope. Make this novena with me. You can add your own intentions to it. Pray with me all week long. May our Lord send his word and heal us. Our Lady of Hope, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.